Hey everybody, Warren Smith with you, and I'd like to welcome you once again to the Ministry Watch podcast. On today's episode, we have a conversation with Dr. Ricardo Bodden, and we're going to talk about toxic leadership. But, you know, before we begin, something that I should probably mention, and that is that I read a lot of leadership books. Early in my career, I worked for a couple of companies, a total of about 6 years, that specialized in leadership training. So I guess you could say, in some ways, I have seen it all when it comes to leadership books and leadership training, executive coaching, and all of that. In fact, I've come to the conclusion, unfortunately, that leadership books have become sort of a dime a dozen. Even lots of pastors will try to rebrand themselves as executive coaches and produce leadership materials. But you know, a leadership book that combines rigorous academic research along with boots on the ground leadership experience, which is often what academic research lacks, and then on top of all of that, has with it an understanding of scripture and ministry and church dynamics, well, those kinds of books are rare indeed. So when I picked up Dr. Ricardo Bodden's book, End the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership, I knew almost immediately that I was holding in my hands something different than what you see out there for the most part in the leadership literature. And that's why I wanted to bring this book and Dr. Bodden to your attention today. In this book, Dr. Bodden unpacks what toxic leadership is, what causes it, and how toxic leaders can, in fact, detox and become effective leaders, and also how churches and other organizations can keep from becoming themselves incubators for toxic leaders. Dr. Ricardo Bodden knows of what he speaks. He is a pastor in the Washington, D.C. area. He's also a retired Air Force officer, where he had to put a lot of these leadership skills to the test, and he holds a doctorate in strategic leadership. His previous book is Leadership in the Age of Narcissism. Now, by the way, I do hope you'll stay tuned to the end of the program. Ricardo Bodden's book is our donor premium for the month of March, and that means that if you give a gift of any size to Ministry Watch, you can get a copy of this book. And at the close of the show, I will share with you how you can do that for yourself. But for now, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Dr. Ricardo Bodden. Ricardo, thanks so much for being on the program to talk about your book. I've got to tell our audience that you and I met real recently, I mean, just a few weeks ago at the National Religious Broadcasters in Nashville. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, people, you know, at those conferences, they'll put stuff in your hands. They'll put books, they'll put flyers, they'll put materials, they'll, you know, whatever it might be. And I'm like, you know, a lot of times I just sort of smile politely. Thank you very much. Have a nice life. Never bother me again. But then I started reading your book. And, you know, I've read a ton of leadership books over the years. For 5 years, early in my career, I worked for a couple of companies that did leadership consulting and organizational change development. So, you know, I'm pretty familiar with what's out there. I've read John Maxwell. I've read, you know, Stephen Covey. I've read, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. And I really felt like your book added to the conversation. I mean, a lot of times books just sort of, you know, echo what's already been in the conversation, but I was really delighted to read your book and see a real strong sort of academic and theoretical basis in the book, but also a lot of practical stuff as well. And I guess that's coming from your Air Force experience and, or maybe your church experience, or maybe both. I don't know. And, but also scripture, a lot of scripture in the book, which, yeah, I mean, I've already talked too much. So let me hush for a minute and just ask you, was that what you were going for? Were you trying to sort of combine that sort of, you know, academic theory with practical, with biblical? Am I picking that up accurately?
Yes, sir, very much. So first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to read the book. And you actually hit the nail on the head, so you're very accurate with your assessment so far, is that I was trying to, and I endeavored to put together biblical practical teaching with current practicality in society, because a lot of times when people speak to Christians or the church, a lot of times people turn a deaf ear who are Christians that work in society or who work in government or have their own self-made business. So what I wanted to do is make sure I grab the Word of God with some practical information and give it to people in the church, and also people, because I don't believe everybody who's saved will actually read this book, or everybody's given their life to Christ or read this book. So that was my whole focus, was to actually broaden the leadership conversation from just talking about the good sides of leadership. That a lot of people do. This is how you run a meeting. This is how you win friends and influence people, and all the great things that were taught out there. But I wanted to teach the other side of the coin, because a lot of people don't teach character development, because they just teach you what to do. No, you need to do this. You need to run a meeting. You need to do this. But you don't realize that these organizations are run by people, and people many times are toxic because of either sin, if you want to use a spiritual perspective, and number two, because you're wounded. They're wounded. Nobody comes to adulthood unwounded. You can have the greatest parents, the greatest mother, the doting father, the greatest friends, and there's going to be some situation or situations that happen that's going to rub you the wrong way, and you may process it wrong. And therein lies the whole hallmark of toxicity. So you're right. I put everything together to try to come with a full-fisted response that was biblically astute. Because one of my personal passions is actually giving biblically based information or leadership information with a biblical worldview. Because what I don't like is when sometimes I might come across leadership information and I'll say, this is corporate leadership that somebody slapped a fish and a cross on and then sold it to the church. No, biblical perspectives and a biblical worldview comes from scripture. And there's tons of leadership information in there as I endeavor to produce it.
Yeah. Well, you certainly did. I mean, the book is just rich with scripture, and I appreciate that. But let's just stipulate for the record for our listeners, Ricardo, that we are not going to cover the entire book in a 20-minute conversation. So I want to give people sort of a taste of the book, though, and I want to also, ask you and get you to talk a little bit about why you wrote this book now. Now, obviously, here at Ministry Watch, I may not need for you to explain that, because we write about toxic leadership all the time here.
Right.
Yeah. And that may be your reason. That may be the reason you wrote it, was because it is so prevalent in our culture. But I will just simply say it is prevalent in the culture. Even a lot of, in Christian organizations, we see a lot of toxic leadership, and identifying it and recovering from it and helping leaders recognize it in themselves and recover from it is also such an important aspect of your book. Is that why you wrote it?
Yes. I wrote it. Number one, because nobody's talking about these things. And like I said a moment ago, it's the other side of leadership. I unfortunately have worked with and or for toxic leaders, and toxic leaders can make your life a living hell. So because my mindset, my purpose is driven towards leadership, I decided to endeavor to write a book that says, what is the other sides of leadership that we're not talking about? Because you could do your own research, Warren, and you can actually do a Google search and find all kinds of great books on leadership. But when you actually focus on toxic leadership or bad leadership, the number exponentially goes down by the hundreds of thousands. So I found out that hardly anybody's talking about this topic, number one. Number two, nobody's holding bad leaders accountable. Nobody saying, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. Nobody is saying, that's not how you actually supposed to treat people. And I know people may think, well, everybody knows that. A lot of times you don't know that. Sometimes you have to go up to somebody and say, you're really not supposed to be talking to people like that. I know you have a personal problem because you're angry because of stuff that's happened in your previous job, but don't bring that over here and destroy people's lives over here. So yes, I endeavored to write a book that was, number one, the other side of leadership, to actually show people, and it's high on identification, for people to identify toxicity in themselves first before they try to identify toxicity in somebody else, and also a book to hold people accountable.
Yeah. Well, on that subject, I've got a question I wanted to ask you. You were very gracious to sign when we met in Nashville at NRB. You were very gracious to sign this book for me, and you wrote "Building Leaders of Character" is the way you signed the book, and then of course you signed your name. And that really struck with me because at Ministry Watch, we cover a lot of scams and scandals here. And one of the things that we see over and over again is that leaders will often rise because of their competence. They're good at something. They're great communicators. Maybe they are, they have a gift of administration and they can organize work in a way that causes things to happen efficiently and effectively. But they might rise on some competence, but they fall on character issues. And so when I saw that building leaders of character in your book, I was very much taken by that because that does seem to me to be probably the most pressing need that we have in sort of the leadership world today is to help leaders develop not just competence or confidence. In fact, in some ways, there may be too much of that, but character. And what are some of the guardrails that you would recommend for our listeners or for those in leadership positions? You mentioned accountability a minute ago. What are some of those structures of accountability that you would recommend?
Great. One of them would be what is known today as 360-degree feedback. So for those who don't know what that is, it's basically interviewing the people who are on your level, such as your peers, some of your friends, somebody who is above you, that's a supervisor or a boss, what have you, and subordinates or people that work for you. So you're getting personal relationships, professional relationships that are on your level, people above you and people below you, because this is what a lot of leaders are scared of. They're scared to actually get other people's opinion. They talk like they do. We talk like we do. But then when you talk to somebody, they'll say, yeah, you're really a narcissist, or you really have narcissistic tendencies. Or did you ever notice in a staff meeting that whenever you ask a question, you have this hawkish look on your face? So that's why nobody ever asks questions, because they're scared that you're going to rip their heads off. Or did you know that every time you don't get sleep, you tear through the staff, and all these different things that are happening because nobody's holding anybody accountable. So you begin to structure your life by asking the hard questions of how am I doing? How are you perceiving me? How am I coming off? And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people just never take the time to investigate themselves. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ricardo, I know you probably got more to say on that point, but let me pause just for a minute there because, I probably don't need to tell you that narcissistic leaders are not going to ask that question. They're probably, they're like the ones that, in a room full of people, they're the least interested in the answer to that question. So if you're working for a narcissistic leader or there's one in your life that is probably not going to, be self-aware enough to ask that question, how do you give them that feedback in ways that won't get you fired or won't damage the relationship?
Great question. Number one would be boundaries, because a lot of narcissistic leaders just bypass boundaries. They bypass boundaries with things that they say, maybe even physical boundaries. Everything's all about them. Everything's all about them. Everything's all about them, because they're very inward focused. And that's the heart and definition of a toxic leader, is that you're so inward focused that it's to the destruction of the mission, the vision, or other people around you. So that's a simple definition of what a toxic leader is or what toxic leadership is. So number one is boundaries. So if a person is narcissistic and they, by their very nature, will overreach, or what I call leadership overreach, and press past things that they should not press past, whether, like I said, it's your physical boundaries, whether it's work boundaries, people reaching past you to do things that they shouldn't be doing. So you say, hey, sir, I know we're here to serve you and you're the boss, and obviously your academic or your skill prowess got you to where you are. But when you're working with me, I don't allow people to cross these boundaries. Like, you can't just call me at 9 o'clock at night and expect me to do something when it's not is not a fire issue, is not a four alarm issue, is not something that is something that can wait till tomorrow, but all of a sudden you just want me to do it now. So all of a sudden, when you live in those boundaries and you check people on those boundaries, then they'll realize, well, I can't do this with that person. I can do this with another person. A lot of narcissistic people can actually be bullies or tyrants. I actually talk about that in the book. So how do you check a bully and a tyrant, like you said, without getting fired from that perspective? Again, boundaries. You say, no, don't talk to me that way. No, stop yelling and screaming at me. Stop throwing staplers at me. Stop. These things have literally happened in organizations where leaders will actually take stuff and throw it at employees and berate them in front of everybody else. You know, there's a certain way that you need to make sure you do treat people, and you need to make sure that people treat you a certain way as well.
Yeah. Well, Ricardo, I want to ask you a couple of questions about your own background. You are now on staff at a church, and in fact, it's Harry Jackson's church. Is that accurate?
The late great Bishop Harry Jackson. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I knew Bishop Jackson not well, but we knew each other for probably 20 years before he passed away. Always had a tremendous amount of respect for him. He was, you know, one of my favorite people. In fact, I think I've even interviewed him for some stories that I've done in the past. But so my point is that you're working in a church environment now, but before that, you were an Air Force officer and you were in the military. And I want you to say a little bit about the leadership styles that are most effective in both of those environments. And maybe it's the same leadership style that's effective in both of those environments. But so, for example, you were an officer.
Yes.
You could give orders. You could. And not only could you give orders, there were real consequences to people that you gave those orders to.
Correct.
If they didn't follow those orders, I mean, you know, hypothetically, they could even go to prison if they didn't follow your orders. And I bet you don't find that in the church too much, right? Nobody's worried about going to prison because they don't follow the orders of one of the pastors there, right? But on the other hand, you know, probably so that's a difference, of course. But there are probably some similarities as well, right? You've got to earn trust. You've got to have credibility. You've got to make people not just follow you, but want to follow you if you're really going to get, you know, high performing work out of them. So talk a little about that issue and what's different, and especially in a church or ministry setting, what can we learn from both of those experiences?
So from the military perspective, you learn to be authoritative. So you learn to act, and authoritative leadership is its own body of knowledge or own body of study, where basically it says that you're the one that's in charge and you are giving information, instruction, or orders. That's authoritative leadership. So the military is huge on that because that's how it's built, and that's why the military is so rank heavy and rank structured. Well, who said that? Well, the colonel. Well, the colonel told the lieutenant colonel, and the lieutenant colonel told the major, and then the major told the captain, and it all goes downhill from there. So it's authoritative. So, and also I practice personally servant leadership in the military, where a lot of times people think that servant leadership doesn't work in corporate America. It does. It's a mindset, and it's a method of how you treat people and how you support people. Because I've been on the top of my offices, but I knew that I was there to empower my people to actually do their job. So whether they were hungry, sometimes I'd get something for the team because we are a team, and I was building that esprit de corps. I was building that morale and that team infrastructure. Whether it's somebody that might have needed a ride every now and then, if it's somebody that needed a new piece of equipment, all that is support so they can do their job. Because it's really hard, for an example, for you to have a great photographer with poor cameras, for example. You know what I'm saying? If you have an administrative person who has a terrible old computer that hardly turns on half the time, so it's hard for you to get administrative things done. So a lot of people don't realize, well, that's servant leadership minded. Let me get my sergeant a brand new computer with up-to-date software so we can run our admin duties as best as we can. So number one, authoritative. Number two is servant leadership. And a lot of times that can be taken over into the church world. So when it comes to the church area, I would actually front load servant leadership first. Jesus was a servant leader, but he was more than that. And there was times that Jesus actually did things like authoritative leadership, like just do what I'm asking you to do. And I'm very clear with my instruction. So when you hear authoritative, people get scared and nervous because of all the toxicities they've seen. But it is one of the tools in your tool bag of life to be authoritative. Same thing with parents. You love your kids. Kids are wonderful and great, but there are times where you say, no, baby, I need you to listen to what daddy says, and you're going to go in your room and you're going to clean it up. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. No, we're not going to have a 30-minute dissertation about it. You're going to actually do what I tell you to do. So I've practiced those more than anything else. So if you're asking what the difference would be the heart of leadership. The difference would be the mission that in the church world, we're doing everything we can to support Christ or to live a biblical worldview around us so we can influence the now and the next generations. Whereas in the military, it's just about the local mission, what you're being asked to do at that time, whether it's a flying mission, a bombing mission, whether it's an intelligence mission or things of that nature.
So it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Ricardo, that what you're saying is that authoritative leadership is not bad necessarily.
Correct.
That a more collaborative leadership style is not good necessarily or bad. It really depends a lot on, number one, situational awareness. In other words, which situation am I in might dictate which would be the most. I mean, if my house is on fire, I don't want to call my family together and say, hey, let's talk about whether we should leave the house or not. Who do you think we should call the fire department? What do you think, Junior? What do you think? You know, the answer is no. I'm the dad. Get out of the house. It's burning down. Right. And you should be authoritative in that situation. So my point is, so situational awareness matters, but also awareness of the people you are leading matters as well, and their background, their history, how they're going to receive the instructions. And if you can get those two right, it sounds to me what you're saying, you can get a whole lot right about leadership.
Correct, because many times people don't understand that the whole leadership engine, and I talk about this in the book, is actually a three-part entity. It's about the leader, it's about the follower, and it's about the context. Leader, follower, context, leader to follower, context. So the context many times drives how the leadership things are done. For example, just like you said, with the, hey, everybody, should we have an example about us all having a sit down meeting? So there were times I did practice what is called democratic leadership, which basically is you bring everybody together. And I did that in the military a lot. I've done that in the church world a lot. Hey, everybody, I don't know exactly what decision I'm going to make yet, but I know you all have more experience in certain areas. So I'm going to listen to everybody's opinion, and then I'll make a decision from there. So you're bringing in people to actually influence the answer that you might give. So yes, it's a very good point that leadership many times is context driven, but everything should be built upon and founded upon a good heart or the biblical worldview.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, Ricardo Bodden, we could talk about this stuff all day long.
Let's do it. A
very robust book, and that I really appreciate. So I know you could talk about it all day long as well. We are certainly not going to cover everything in the book, but so we do need to, since you're an Air Force guy, I'll say we got to land this airplane. Just any final thoughts that you would have for our listeners that that maybe I'm not smart enough to ask that you wanted to say today?
The main thing is you have to take the time to build the inner you. You have to take the time to understand the other side of things so you come with a full-bodied understanding. So you can't just learn all the good stuff about a car. You need to understand what happens when a car breaks down so you can get the car fixed. Same thing with your personal life and leadership. You gotta practice your character development. Even though you think you may be good, please, I'm successful, everything's wonderful. You gotta take the time to evaluate yourself, figure out what are your not so good and pretty points, parts, so you can get better as an individual, so you can be more successful in the future.
Ricardo Bodden, that is such a good word, and I'm really grateful for that word and also for your book, In the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership. And we'll have some information in the show notes about how you can get your own copy of this book. So Ricardo Bodden, Dr. Ricardo Bodden, thank you so much for being on the program today. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for hanging out with me today to hear my conversation with Dr. Ricardo Bodden. As I mentioned at the top of the program, we'd like to put a copy of his book in your hands. That book, of course, is called In the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership. It's our thank you gift to you for a gift of any size to Ministry Watch during the month of March. Now, if you want to make that gift, just go to ministrywatch.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page, and we'll get his book in the mail to you ASAP, usually in in a matter of a day or two. The producers for today's program are Rich Rosel and Jeff McIntosh. We get database, technical, editorial, and moral support from Christina Darnell, Kim Roberts, Stephen DeBerry, Casey Suddeth, and others. I'm your host, Warren Smith, and I hope you'll join me and Natasha Cowden on Friday for our weekly roundup of news. Until then, may God bless you.